This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, Joy listeners. It is Sunday Arts Magazine for another week. Hello, David Hunt.
Hello, Brendan Bale.
How are you?
I'm extraordinary well, thanks. No, I'm not. I've got a rotten cold, but I'm getting better.
Oh, well, you sound lovely. Deeper than usual somehow. Right. I don't know how you do it, David.
Yeah, well, that's because of the bloody cold.
A big thank you to Andy and also to Megan as well today for helping out.
Yes, and Andy's going on holidays again, as he mentioned. Mm. So have a wonderful holiday, Andy. Because he goes on all these trips with his partner, who's a big sailor. And that's where they're going. They're going to Canada for a big sailing festival or whatever they call them. Regatta is the word.
So dignified.
Yes.
Yeah, well, yes, I've been doing a bit of shopping for my trip coming up as well. So in about less than 2 months now, David.
Right. Well, you're going off to Europe. So we need lots of reporting back on what you've seen within the arts throughout Europe.
I'm very excited.
A bit of art in Europe.
Just a little bit of history there. Yeah. Very much excited to look around London, have a good gaze around there. But,
right. Or to see a Banksy. Oh, I've seen the
I'll
odd ones around.
I'll make sure I take
around.
A photo if I do.
I've seen a few around Melbourne before some of them were destroyed as well. Because all of a sudden, you know, like bang. And for 2 days, it's there. And then the council comes away and removes it because it's often a phone box that's been chopped in halves and laying on the ground with blood coming out of it or something. And everyone runs knowing that it's a Banksy to take photos of it. It's an extraordinary artist. He really is. So I hope you see a Banksy while you're there.
Let's hope so. Yes. But I get to go all around Europe, so which is lovely. It's sort of inbuilt into the tour is a lot of sort of art.
Galleries,
that kind of stuff. So that's what I was really excited about. Yeah. And a little bit of nightlife as well, but mostly about, you know, the culture and
Europe
it's gonna
is
be
amazing. And what it's given us within the arts is incredible.
Yes, definitely. Speaking of art, though, and things like Banksy, I live in Brunswick, and there's so much beautiful street art.
Yes.
Just insane. And my reporter friend at work, Virginia, she takes a lot of the photos and sends it through to work, and we put it out there.
Oh, right.
Which I think is wonderful, because we've got our own Instagram feed. And I love that. I love sort of sharing art, and hopefully that's what the artists sort of want as well.
Yes.
To sort of get their work out there.
Do you know what I'm loving about it, and all through Fitzroy as well, where there's a lot of side of buildings, a lot of them houses, and they must ask the owners, can I do some street art? Or a lot of the owners actually want it on the side of their buildings as well, instead of it just being tagging. And what's happening now, Brendan, is that so many people aren't tagging the stupid teenage, and it's mostly teenage boys, that just run out there and tag because they think that's what they should do, but it's not, and destroying these lovely pieces of art. They're not doing it anymore. You know, they are doing it, but when it's a really lovely piece, you often find that it's not being tagged, which is so lovely to see. And it just sits there for month after month and hopefully year after year now without being tagged.
Well, on the Upfield line, I catch the train a lot. Yep. And so all along those same buildings that you're talking about, along the line, along the train line, there is so much street art along there as well.
Absolutely.
And I think with the tagging, you're right. It's not so much tagging over that art. It's sort of a lot of it's underneath and around it.
Yep.
So it kind of adds to the story of it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not as, you know, nice or not as...
Well, it's a bit mindless. The tagging is you know, like it's self-indulgent. And what it is, it's vandalism, tagging. That's all it is. And they're just walking past somebody's fence and just doing their initials or, you know, or their little tag is just, don't get it.
Don't get it. Don't get it at all.
But street art, love it. Absolutely love it.
Yes. Something else that I don't really get, religion, David.
Right.
It's not really my thing.
Okay.
And That was. Did you like that little segue into the film review that I'm going to be doing? So, Going Clear, Scientology and the Prison of Belief. We were supposed to do this last week, but we got so busy with our wonderful guests in the studio that I had to leave it out until this week. But I think it's just still doing very well in Australia and did very well on HBO in America. It actually was video on demand and did very well over there.
Oh, okay. So, it's a HBO.
Yeah, produced one, yes.
Right, so, but you saw it at the cinema.
Yeah, so it's actually released, which is wonderful. It's actually been released in Australia.
Is it a doco or a film?
It's a documentary. Right. Yeah. So it looks into Scientology, essentially.
Right. Which is, it's still, you were mentioning your day job about Kate Soprano, and who is just the most loveliest person, and she is probably one of the most highest profile Scientologist in Australia.
Yeah.
And there's this really weird not understanding a lot of people's can't understand it, and hatred of Scientology. But then you meet somebody like her, who is a nice person.
Such a
in the family.
Soul, yeah.
Seems like her brother Phil is a nice guy as well. So what did you learn about it, Brendan?
Well, see, I guess I was very skeptical, but you know, I try to be respectful of all religions. I think everyone's got their own opinion, and everyone's opinion should be respected. But this kind of looked into the murkiness of specifically the American strand, I guess you'd call it.
Well, that's where it came from.
It's the main one there, And
well, you know that they actually prey on gay people a lot and try to convert them. A friend of mine, when he first moved to from Adelaide, you know, he was my best friend growing up. We still are, and he lives in Sydney. When he first moved to Sydney, he was confronted on a street by a Scientologist, and they pretty much guessed that he might have been gay, and then he went to a couple of meetings. He thought, why not? Mm. And then they gave up on him because they realised they weren't going to be able to brainwash him per se.
I think they probably give up on me too. but going back to the actual documentary itself, very very well put together documentary, and not necessarily sensationalist either. It's interesting. It sort of goes into the history of the religion and what it started off by L. Ron Hubbard, the former science fiction writer.
Yes.
And how he got his start as a writer as well, doing little serials and stuff like that. And just on that level alone was very interesting as sort of a history lesson almost and how things came to be. So, yeah, as a documentary, I thought it was amazing to sort of uncover all of that. And it does sort of it is controversial, of course, because the subject matter, but doesn't do it in a necessarily sensationalist kind of way.
Right, okay, so they're not on a witch hunt per se.
Not exactly, no, but they do. They get some very interesting access to former people from the church who have left it and paid a big price for that. You know, they had families that were involved in it very heavily and were basically blacklisted from their communities. Mm. It's a little bit like when, I guess, when Amish people and Mormons leave the church as well. Well, I guess a lot of churches are the same. You leave it and you kind of have to leave your old life behind.
Well,
so it kind of goes into that.
Yeah, well, it depends on more conventional religions, you don't get that.
Well, not so much these days, I suppose. Mm. But yeah, I think there's always been a little bit of that. But anyway, the film has done very well and actually got 5.5 million viewers in the US alone.
It was shown on what, cable?
On cable, yeah. Right. So that was just people sort of seeking it out, pay-per-view, basically what you get in America. So I think it's very topical at the time, and I've heard little rumours that Tom Cruise might be thinking about leaving as well. And I guess
really?
All these rumours sort of come up every once in a while.
Okay.
Probably shouldn't be repeating them, but I think it's interesting to keep the spotlight on the church in America specifically. And I think, once again, documentary has this really impressive way of, you know, cutting through bias and trying to represent sort of both sides.
Right.
And,
and visually interesting?
Interesting, yeah. Yeah, nothing flashy about it.
Pretty basic docs.
Yeah, it's not one of these documentaries that's sort of a cross between fiction and stuff. It's very factual and tries to, I guess, for legal reasons as well, trying to get everything right so they're not open to defamation.
Because they're quite wealthy, aren't they, with the followers they've got in America.
Yeah. So, but if you're interested in, you know, religion or...
Well, just finding out a little bit more about Scientology.
I definitely recommend the film.
Okay, because it's something that I would like to know more.
Mm.
So thanks for telling us about it. What's it called?
You're welcome. It is called Going Clear,
right?
Scientology and the Prison of Belief.
Right.
Now, another documentary I meant to go see this morning, but I ran out of time shopping, as I do, David. Amy. So hopefully I'll get that to you next week.
And, of course, that's about...
The lovely...
Amy Winehouse.
Yes.
Yeah. A tragic end.
Yeah.
And for an amazing voice, and it was really sad. But, look, would have been hard for her for the last 2 or 3 years of her life. People would pay good money to go to her concerts and she'd walk on stage off her face and then just walk off and not come back on. You know, imagine being in the audience at something like that. It would be so annoying. But it's one of those tragic lives, isn't it, that often happens in entertainment.
Certainly is. Now, David, we've got a little message in already, which is lovely.
Yes.
No name, but we still appreciate the message all the same. What does it say?
Great street art on an apartment beside the
Anstey.
Anstey? I've never heard of Anstey before.
Yeah.
Anstey Railway Station. Okay.
Well, funnily enough, that's the one I was thinking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's a few. Now, I'm trying to think. There's a cat with a Wu-Tang Clan symbol on its head, but there's also a Hulk a little bit further down,
down
the line as well. Oh. But just these beautiful, colourful, larger-than-life creations. I just love them.
Oh, great. Oh, so thank you for letting us know about that.
Yeah, if you know any more around town that we should really check out, let us know, 0427JOY949, or you can also email onair@joy.org.au. You are listening to Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. It's filled with peaks and twists and turns. Sometimes you have to learn to forget about it.
It's Wise Words from Marina and the Diamonds. That is Forget here on Joy 94.9.
Great song.
Yes, and I love Marina.
Yeah, she's good.
She's amazing. You are listening to Sunday Arts Magazine. It's David and Brendan with you, taking you through till 5 p.m. It's time for our first interview.
Yes, it is.
Very excited to talk to this gentleman.
Who is it?
Well, it's Jeff Morfitt. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Thank you for joining us on Joy 94.9 today.
It's my pleasure.
Now, well, you've got a background in photography. We're going to be talking about a few different things today, though. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started out in your chosen field?
I've always been, most of my life, I mean, so I've been a victim of circumstance. I mean, so I became a photographer by circumstance. I was living in Tasmania on the side of a mountain in a log cabin with no running water and no electricity. And my nearest neighbours, who were at the bottom of the mountain, and were doing a hobby course at the Launceston CAE. I went down there one night. They were doing some processing some film in the doing some printing in the bedroom, and I got in there and saw a print come up in a tray of developer, and I thought, this is magical. And anyhow, so I came back to the mainland and basically taught myself photography. I was looking down the coast, Aries Inlet, and I kind of just started to establish a very small business, self-taught, sort of when the Ash Wednesday bushfires came along, burn everything down.
Yeah.
So I got some money out of the Bushfire Appeal Fund and thought, I'll see if I can get into a course and learn how to do this properly. So I applied for RMIT. I shot a folio, applied for RMIT, got into RMIT, did my three-year degree course. I sort of went straight out into establish my own studio, and worked at that for 12 years, I think.
And what sort of work did you do? You said you had a studio. Was it a lot of portrait stuff, did you like to get out in the field a lot?
No, I was an advertising commercial photographer.
Right, okay.
So it was product mainly.
Yep.
Sort of, but very much for the advertising industry.
Right. Oh, so you've been heavily involved in the industry then, not just as a hobby.
Yes, well, yes. I mean, sort of, I've earned a living from it for the last, X amount of years, 20 years. I did advertising photography for 15 years and probably hated it for 14 and a half, you know.
Right, because you were told what to photograph and in a particular way, and it wasn't an art form for you.
Well, pretty much. I mean, sort of, it was the people you had to work with, I mean, sort of who I didn't warm to. I guess it's fair to say I'm a bit of a maverick.
Yeah.
And having come to photography by circumstance rather than design, I mean, sort of, that those things, I mean, sort of don't appear to be, or they're not so precious, you know, that this is my career choice and I've got to do whatever I do to make my career out of this.
Yeah.
And then I concurrently, I sort of, as I was shooting, I was teaching. I sort of went back to teach at RMIT.
Ah.
And for 10 years, I taught photography to graphic design students at RMIT.
Right. So but, you know the whole digital world quite well.
No.
As, no?
No, I didn't go to RMIT until I was 40. So I sort of started my photography when I was 40. So this was in 85.
Right.
So that was probably 5-7 years before digital took. I mean, sort of that I was out there in the industry.
Yep. And teaching it, you didn't have to teach the digital side of it.
No, once again, it was still the fairly early years.
Right, early days of that. Days, yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But in your commercial work, were you able to sort of instill some of your creativity? You know, did you sort of sneak it in somehow?
It's interesting the way I saw the commercial thing works. I was never Melbourne's greatest advertising photographer. And the consequence is that you tend to get work with people who don't have a whole lot of talent, which is why they use you because you have some talent. You can make them look good. the downside is they don't have a lot of talent, so they don't have very good clients. And you were always chasing money and stuff like that.
More business, not the art of photography. Yeah. So, you know, what was the main reason that you got behind this biennale you've done? The Ballarat International Photo Biennale. Is this why you did it? Because the passion for photography still was there and you decided, come on, I want to do it as more of an art form?
I don't know. I've always been a fan of a good idea and I always thought it was a good idea. I mean, so I'd burned the advertising bridge at this stage.
Yep.
I'd burned the teaching bridge and I'd moved to the country and I sort of built a house in between Daylesford and Trentham. And I'd read a little bit about these international festivals of photography. I saw the biggest one being Arles in the south of France, which has now been running for, I think, something like 40 years.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, that's a good idea, Daylesford has tourist infrastructure.
Yes.
So it's a fairly strong arts community. And so this would be a good idea to start a festival of photography in Daylesford. And so I kicked it around with a few people. I went to a small photographic group in Daylesford, and so that used to meet monthly, and ran it by them. And they all thought, that's a good idea. And I talked to it about my next door neighbour, who also has a weekender, has a wrought iron business here in Melbourne. He said, "That's a fantastic idea, Jeff. I'll put some money into it. You know, I'll kick in a couple of grand." And so I went and saw the mayor of Hepburnshire, and he said, "Oh, that's a fantastic idea, Jeff." So I thought, here we go. This is going to be easy. And then kind of went downhill from there. But
so you did it in Daylesford for the first couple that you did.
Yes, 2005, 2007.
Right, and then Ballarat a step forward and said, we'll come and do it in the bigger town in the area.
Yeah.
Is this the first one in Ballarat?
This one? No, yep. This is our fourth.
Your fourth in Ballarat. Okay. And it's bi-yearly, is that right?
It's biennial.
Yep.
Yes, I mean.
What can people expect from it? You know, because you're saying an international photo biennale, which a biennale means pretty big business in a lot. You know, like we all look at the Venice
biennale. Well, yes,
which is the arts biennale there, and you know it's huge. So what does this hold for the visitor that's going to come to this festival?
Just too much photography to see in a day, basically.
So you've got to come up for the weekend would be a good idea.
At least a weekend. That was always the intention when we started. To make a festival. That was so big. That you couldn't see everything in a day. That you had to come. I guess we've always been attractive. Both to Daylesford in the first instance and Ballarat as a tourism vehicle rather than a community event or even an arts event.
Okay. All right.
We've got so much more to ask you, Jeff. Please stick around. We'll be back in a little bit here on Joy 94.9. It's Sunday Arts Magazine with David and Brendan.
Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are on Joy 94.9. It's Sunday Arts Magazine, Brendan Michael Bale, David John Hunt. And thank you for your company this afternoon. And we've got to say a big hello to this person that's just sent this email in. Enjoying your art show with a nice glass of wine. I love the insightful interviews. Oh, thank you so much. Unfortunately, we don't know who it is because you didn't leave a name.
No, we'd love to know who you are.
Yeah, because you've sent, maybe they don't want to.
Maybe.
You have sent SMSs in before, but thank you so much for your message.
And I agree, David sounds a lot better with a glass of wine. So moving back on to Jeff, thanks for sticking around. We love the frivolity here. Now, we were talking about the Ballarat International Photo Biennale. Tell us a little bit more about it and why you're so excited about this year's lineup.
I think it's just, I mean, sort of a marvellous opportunity to take in the whole smorgasbord, I mean, sort of photographic art, or the photographic genre. I mean, so it's not just art. I mean, sort of, you know, I guess we all know what a great photograph is. You know, we know what we like. I mean, sort of.
But the art of taking a good photograph, that's what I get excited about.
Well, you know, it's, I mean, that's a very subjective call. What is good, what is a good photograph?
Yes, but to me that's an art because I know so many people, I can't take a great photograph. I'm teaching myself and I'm teaching myself on an iPhone, knowing where to stand with the sun behind me and all those right and just don't take it for the being aware of the clarity of a photo. That is an art.
Well, yes. But, you know, I expect, I mean, sort of, we've had exhibitions sort of in previous biennales where people would say, well, what's, you know, that's crap, you know, how's that get up there? So, I mean, you know.
That's in the art is what the eye beholder,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yes, yeah, you know. At times I think sharp focus or one sort is much overrated, one mm-hmm. sort in photography. But I guess, you know, our aim is, I mean, sort of to show the diversity of photography. And so it's a two-tier program. So we have a core program, which is the curated section of the festival. And this year it's 21 shows.
Okay. Oh, wow.
21 shows.
And so that's just all over Ballarat you can find these.
Well, I mean, so the festival all up will probably be something in excess of 200 events over 80 or 90 venues in Ballarat.
Right.
All within Ballarat.
And we're talking about including historic buildings, cafes, galleries, public spaces, you'll find a little exhibition.
Yes.
In terms of organising that, you know, how did you have people coming to you saying, oh, we really want to exhibit some art? Or was it sort of a bit of to and fro-ing asking venues and stuff if they want to be involved?
It's more chasing. I mean,
oh, really?
Oh. Well, this is our fourth festival in Ballarat, and so now that people are approaching us and saying, well, next time we would like to be involved in the Fringe program.
Yeah. And do you put the call out to people, you know, saying, are you a photographer? Would you like to exhibit? Do you do that?
Yes. Well, as I was saying before, I mean, so it's a two-tier program. Yep. So there's a core program, 21 shows. Half of those are international, half Australian.
Ah.
Okay. They go in our seven core venues.
Yep.
So these are our best venues. They're all beautiful heritage spaces in Ballarat. The Art Gallery, the Mining Exchange, the Lost Ones Gallery, which is a commercial gallery, the Trades Hall, the A Hall upstairs of the Town Hall, St. Patrick's Community Hall. And so these are all beautiful spaces, not all gallery spaces. I want to sort of say,
yep,
four or five of those seven we have to actually turn into art galleries.
Right. And with the international side of it, how are you aware of what you want to bring in?
I spend a lot of time online, you know.
Right.
You
don't travel to see?
Yes,
them?
I travel.
Right.
So last year I was in China, at Pingyao. Generally, I travel to international festivals of photography.
Right.
So I've been to PhotoFest in Houston, sort of probably the biggest festival in the US 2 years ago, where I did portfolio reviews. So over the course of 4 days, I probably saw 50 or 60 folios. Always a great opportunity, I saw it, to find new, discover new work.
Yeah, yeah.
I have members of the team, who will recommend somebody. We have previous artists, someone sort of shown in the core program, and they've recommended somebody else. I found some artists on Facebook, you know.
The social media would help a lot these days, wouldn't it?
Yes, I mean, so it takes a fair degree of filtering. I thought,
I'm sure it does.
You know,
yeah.
I everybody thinks they're worthy of a spot in the core program.
Yeah.
And I guess another condition of sort of being invited into the core program, the work has never been exhibited in Australia.
Ah, okay.
So if you kind of come to Ballarat and see the core program we're talking about specifically,
yes,
I thought it's all work that hasn't been exhibited in Australia before.
Right. So. Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. And how many Australian photographers are involved?
We've got 10 in the core pro. Well, in fact, so we've probably got 11 in the program. But my sort of one is Australian, who's now based in Toronto in Canada.
Oh, okay.
But you know, we have a show from Bulgaria. We have two from Germany. We have two from France. One from Argentina. One from Malta. But you know, it's a diversity, and it's a diversity of genre. Mm. So there's fine art. There's photo documentary. There's, you know, conventional photography, if I can use that term. Something that you would take your granny to see, and she would say, "Oh, that's lovely." And and hopefully, I saw also some stuff that challenges.
Yep, which is always good.
Yeah.
And
I was just going to ask, you know, comparing sort of photography, say, 20 years ago to now with new artists or, you know, photographers doing new work, what is the main thing that has changed in that time, do you feel? And do you know why? Is like, do you think digital photography has played a big part in changes that have happened in the medium?
I think digital only sort of has opened the medium to a much broader audience, which, you know, from one point of view, I sort of is fantastic. And from another point of view, it's to the detriment of photography because people just blaze away. And I guess there's a lot more emphasis on the physical result rather than the idea behind the result.
Yeah.
Yeah, the technology has become so good at doing what it does that a photographer doesn't need any of those technical skills anymore.
Yeah. It was losing a bit of soul. Well, we actually mentioned off air, it's and you were saying a lot of people are going back to printing their own prints, which is exactly the same thing that happened with the music industry, with the recording industry, where everyone went to CDs and then digital downloading. Now everyone's going backwards and buying vinyl again because it's more pure, the sound. The same thing is happening a bit with photography.
A bit. But, you know, I said with music, you know, anybody can operate a recording studio. All you need is GarageBand. I mean, yep. So you can make your own recordings, I mean, so, which was not possible 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So without a host of equipment and very much the same for photography.
Photography, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. It's wonderful that you've started this and it's growing and growing all the time. Obviously, it's on in Ballarat from the 22nd of August to the 20th of September. And obviously, it's as you said earlier, that's important that people come for a weekend because there's so much to look at, because there's all the fringe exhibitions as well, which are in galleries, in cafes and all that all over town.
That's right. Last time I looked, there was 118 shows in the Fringe.
Yep.
And I guess the other thing I would point out to your audience is that everything's free.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Even better. So if you come up for a weekend and stay in one of the so much accommodation up there and lovely pubs and restaurants to eat in, of course, and then go out. Well, some of the cafes would probably be exhibiting as well. All right, thank you so much, Jeff, for coming in.
Just everybody bring your jackets and your scarves. Ballarat.
Well, yes, but we know what it's like. This last week in Melbourne's been bloody freezing. Thank you so much, Jeff. That's the Ballarat International Photo Biennale, 22nd of August to the 20th of September.
So you've got plenty of time to book it in.
Yes.
Now you are listening to Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Show 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine, one of my favourite songs ever. That was MGMT with their big hit back in the day, Kids.
Are they still around?
Well, yes, but they went very non-commercial after that album.
Because that was very commercial.
Very commercial.
And then when they toured Australia, a lot of people were a bit disappointed because they weren't...
No, I love them. I saw them up in Brisbane and they were amazing.
Right. Yep. Yeah, but then again, you were living in Brisbane.
I was living in Brisbane, so my expectations were probably very low.
Yeah.
Oh, David, you're terrible. Now, we're going to continue the very interesting interviews today.
Oh,
we're
okay.
We're moving straight into it.
Right. Well, actually, so weeks, they're not interesting.
Well, depending. We've got a couple of messages, David. Can you read those out? The terrible twosome have messaged in.
Right. Well, why don't you read that one? Because you've had a chance to look at it. I haven't even seen it.
Well... The lovely Eric says, hello, you two gorgeous men. Just wanted to say hello and you know that we're enjoying your show as usual.
Oh, thank you.
We love platitudes. We think it's fantastic how many smaller regional areas and towns are getting involved with culture and the arts, which is fantastic. It's good to see so many artistic ventures happening outside of Melbourne.
And Ballarat and Bendigo are really going for it these days, aren't they? They're really showing the way sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's great as well. Eric also goes to say it's great for the townspeople, great for local tourism, great for artists and people working in the in promoting the arts in general. Mm. But it's also, I guess, very important for the LGBTIQ communities out there because generally there are a lot of people in that community that are also in the arts community.
Yep.
So I think it just helps everyone, really.
Yeah, and then there was a meeting from our wonderful head of news and current affairs, Tim Lennox, hello Tim, who is a very good photographer.
Mm.
And so I wasn't surprised at all when all of a sudden I saw a message from him. Great to hear more of this. I visited it for 2 days last year and recorded a brief interview for Saturday Magazine. Ah, okay, Tim. This year caught up with me. Hope to be involved as a photographer next time.
Wow.
Well, Tim, yeah, get off your lazy bum because you don't do anything and get out there and do something about it, because Tim is a great photographer and so many wonderful stories. Actually, Brendan, that's one person we should get in one day to talk about photography is Tim Lennox.
Definitely. He'd make a great interviewer. Now, okay, so we'll get into our interview. It's all about the Leaps and Bounds Music Festival.
Yes.
Now, we've got Sarah Guppy and Harry from Ministry of Plenty. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Now, we should have joining us soon as well, David, who is a label manager as well, because that was sort of the whole concept. But he is an Essendon supporter and he's coming from the game. And Sarah's just told me that they got thrashed. Is that right, Sarah?
Correct. I think he might be somewhere crying.
Right. Okay, so that's why, probably downstairs, you walked past him as you came up the steps. So, Sarah, tell us a little bit about what Leaps and Bounds Music Festival is all about.
Okay, cool. Well, Leaps and Bounds is a music festival that is run across venues in the Yarra City.
Yep.
So the basic idea of it is to bring together venues, musicians, and people to run this festival from the 3rd of July to the 19th. And right. It's basically using spaces across the Yarra.
Now, I'm looking here, 300 events, 80 acts over 17 days of the festival, as you said. That's a hell of a lot.
It is a lot.
And you booked all the bands.
I didn't book all these. No, wonderful lady called Mary Michalakos puts together Heads Up with a team around her for the city of Yarra.
Right, and she's quite legendary, isn't she, with the music
Total
industry.
Legend.
North by Northwest, she started the whole Australian little mini festival that happened many years ago, and she used to be heavily involved in one of the weekly music papers as well, wasn't she?
She still writes for The Age, so she does The Sticky Carpet.
Right. No, but she was actually part of Beat.
Oh, yeah, she's done, like, everything amazing in the music industry in Australia.
So why is this festival important?
This it's important because it's celebrating local music and local venues and bringing them to life and making people, you know, realise how great our city is, and especially in the city of Yarra.
Yeah.
And for my involvement, I've been lucky enough to start booking a venue down at the Abbotsford Convent called the Shadow Electric.
Uh-huh.
Which is an amazing space.
Whereabouts is it in the convent?
You know where if you walk in and you go to Lentil as Anything?
Yep.
If you kind of keep veering to the left,
there's
like a beautiful little kind of space on the right, which they have weddings pretty much every weekend.
Oh, okay.
And then we go around the corner.
Right.
And we're there. So we run the outdoor cinema in the summer.
Right.
And this year,
I know. I know exactly where it is.
Well, if you went to the Pushover back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
It was there.
Right. Okay. Harry's laughing about Pushover. Yeah. He must have been involved in that. So it really is important for your up-and-coming promoters and bands and the labels, because the indie label, which we wanted to talk to Dave about, but he is an Essendon supporter, is how important that indie label is, isn't it, to the industry nowadays?
Yeah, definitely. I think, look, the idea was born out of a conversation that we had, and for me it was about talking about the people behind the labels and the bands and the people that put all the hard work into it, because, you know, people are running them out of their bedrooms.
This is
not a big corporation that's funded by millions of dollars. It's people putting in their hard-earned time.
Who have a full-time job in most cases.
Exactly.
And
spending their nights sending out records or emailing till midnight and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So the labels that I chose are all very dear to me and people that I think are amazing that run them. And that's the reason why I invited all the labels that I did. So I think I've got 12 or 13 labels in my series.
Right. And they must be delighted with the fact of being able to showcase the artists on their labels.
I hope so. I think so. We had our first one last night and, I'm still really buzzing from that. We did Art Records last night and we had None, Ooga Boogers, which was amazing because they never play shows. I don't know if you know about those guys, but Mikey Young, the elusive Mikey Young.
Yes, yes.
They, you know, got up on stage. And,
oh, awesome.
Yeah, they were amazing. And we had Whipper and Exhaustion. Yeah, it was amazing.
Now, Harry, you're in a band that's playing tonight, as a matter of fact, called Ministry of Plenty.
Yep.
Tell me, how important is that for you? Because you're in a couple of little bands, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you seem to be gigging a lot and got album releases or EP releases. What does a festival like this mean to somebody like you?
Well, for me, it's kind of nice because, like, these venues around Melbourne are kind of like my whole life, music-wise. I mean, you know, when I'm playing shows and stuff, I'm not going on tour and I'm not even going into state and stuff. So, you know, to play a venue like the Shadow Electric, which is huge, and to have that packed out by a bunch of people is incredible. And to have my label, which is literally like two of my mates running it out of their bedrooms.
And what's the label called?
Wigwam Records.
Right, great name.
Yeah, which just started up, and you know, I think we're one of three bands that are on the label, and for us to kind of have a platform to launch that and celebrate that and be like, look at all the cool stuff that we're doing and play with our friends, and yeah, it's like really, really excellent.
And with small labels like this and with a band like yours, you're not going to make $1 million out of this, are you?
Yeah, no. I mean, we just had our EP launch at the end of May at the Workers Club. And for example, like, we couldn't get a Friday night because we weren't big enough. So we had to get a Thursday night and we had to pay, you know, $1,000 to get our EPs printed and stuff. And that isn't, you know, a small sum of money to us. For us to all pull in,
yep,
$250 when we're working part-time, still at uni and stuff, like, it's a pretty big deal. So to, yeah, have, yeah, to have a platform for leaps and bounds, yeah, it's really incredible.
And obviously just your passion for it probably keeps you going. And,
yeah, definitely.
But how, we've got a message in saying our music scene is amongst the best in the world, love that Melbourne vibe. So how much is the city a part of, you know, what inspires you?
Look, we wouldn't be doing this if we didn't love it. And consistently I'm going out and I'm seeing bands my friends are in or bands I've never seen before and being absolutely amazed. Like, there's a new night on Tuesdays at Howler and it's free, and I reckon I've gone to three of them and they've been incredible. Like, Mangelwurzel played there the other day, and Pat Lima and stuff. And just, yeah, the Melbourne music scene's incredible because you can just go out on a Tuesday night, on a Wednesday night, on any night of the week and see an incredible band that probably, I have to say, if they were anywhere else or in the States, would be touring internationally by now, because there's so many bands in Melbourne that I think there's a massive strive to just be better and be as good as you can. And there's, yeah, so many cool platforms that we can launch each other off as well.
So, Sarah, it's really important that Harry's band's getting an opportunity to showcase at an event like this. So it's great that your venue is giving them an opportunity, and it's obviously then putting people in front of his band that never would normally not see him.
Definitely. I mean, one thing I do want to say is too, I think we're very lucky in Victoria with arts funding, because, you know, Leaps and Bounds is funded by the government, as is things like Melbourne Music Week,
yes,
and plenty of other things. And I've got a lot of friends, I lived overseas for a long time, who play in bands. And when we tell people about the fact that you can go for recording grants and we have all these amazing arts festivals that get funded to help us promote bands, people are completely amazed. There's not many other cities in the world that actually do what we do.
Yeah. And that's what makes Melbourne so special. And,
exactly.
And that's why a lot of musicians move here, because they know that there's opportunity. But then there's the added problem is that, as Harry said just a while ago, that there's more and more bands here. So the competition gets a little bit fiercer. And it's wonderful that you've got this little festival happening, that it's making it more worthwhile. And what I also feel is that it gives the audience an opportunity to hear about new bands. And because of these little labels, the experience of buying a CD or downloading the CD, because otherwise, you know, bands don't know how to do it themselves. Harry, would you have had any idea of what to do if you weren't involved with a label like this?
Well, we've only started on this label for the last, like, 3 months.
Yep.
Before that, we've been doing this for 5 years.
So, okay, like, so you're a bit of a veteran of doing it yourselves.
We've had that whole slog of emailing a million music blogs and emailing venues and trying to organize all that stuff in advance. So, yeah, we kind of did it ourselves. But at the same time, like, I've never played at the Shadow Electric because I've never been able to get a gig together that's big enough that, you know, they'll put us on. So this is a dream to play.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. You're playing tonight. Give yourself a plug. Tell us.
So we're on tonight at 10 o'clock at the Shadow Electric.
Yep.
But there are three other very, very cool bands starting at, I think doors are at 10? No, 7? Doors are at 7. It's about $10 on the door.
Right.
It's going to be incredible. I'll be there. I'll buy you a beer.
I'll be there. There's actually going to be an art exhibition tonight as well.
Oh, great.
A friend of Joe and the label crew, a photographer, who's amazing as well. So that's the other thing about the space, that we're able to kind of do sort of more arts-driven things as well. So she's going to be exhibiting too.
Amazing.
Sarah, the other bands playing tonight, can you remember
offhand? Tonight we've got...
Splendid Sun Basil.
Yeah, Basil Sun Basil and My Elephant Ride.
Right, okay.
Oh, and I think we've got Arcadia DJing as well.
Oh my god.
New local up-and-coming artists as well. Definitely one to keep your eye on.
So you've got a Facebook page and a web so everyone can find you?
Yes, www.shadowelectric.com.au.
Right.
And all the ticket info is on there. Also, Leaps and Bounds have a website as well, so definitely go and check out that, because there's lots of amazing gigs at the Gasso, at the Corner.
Yes.
Bruce Milne's doing... He may have done it already, but he's got his magical bus tour thing, which is really amazing, where you get to drive around Melbourne and see music.
Well, it's called Leaps and Bounds Music Festival, so look it up. And it's on from the 3rd, so it's already started until the 19th of July. And it's really important that everyone goes out and supports festivals like this, because it's what keeps them going. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Joy. It's that time of the afternoon and that time of the week again to say goodbye, but thank you so much. Well, thank you for sitting opposite me, David.
Well, thank you for sitting opposite me, Brendan.
Well, I always have so much fun with you. So, and stick around for the news with Bassam. But we've got to say thank you to Jeff Morfoot for coming in as well.
Yes.
From the Ballarat International Photo Biennale. And we've just spoken with Sarah Guppy and Harry from the Ministry of Plenty, all about the Leaps and Bounds Music Festival. Mm. And that website again is leapsandboundsmusicfestival.com if you want any more information. And we've got another... someone that signed up for a membership as well.
Oh, wonderful.
So, congratulations, Scott from Caulfield South. You won't regret it.
No. Well, welcome to our wonderful family, which is Joy, of course.
Yes.
And thank you to our listeners, and thank you for the responses we've had today. And it's really important that things that happen behind the scenes, like with the music industry, as we just found out then, it's all excellent.
And David, I've been catching up on all of our podcasts on joy.org.au, done by the lovely Julia, and she does an amazing job.
She does a great job.
So big thank you again to Julia. You are a superstar.
She is.
Now stick around for Bassam with the news here on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.